Imagine what it's like trying to prepare a sermon with all that sound going on outside of our house. Amen. It's a blessing to be with you, especially at Faith Baptist Church. I look out in the crowd and I see so many people that had a part in my life as a young man. And I'm just so thankful. I could spend all day just thanking different people here. And you're a great example that that would influence my life. And that's why I'm here. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I really believe that. And I'm just so glad I have this opportunity to come here again to thank you. I don't get to do it as often as I like, but it's always a blessing to come home to Faith Baptist Church. Amen. And let's turn in our Bibles, please. And we're going to look at prayer for doors and missions. Praying for doors and missions. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. You heard I was in an accident and rolled over a van three times, and I had 14 kids. While I was rolling around, I was thinking, Lord, protect the kids. I'm ready to go, but please protect the kids. And thankfully, when we were upright, it all ended. I said, everybody fine? And everyone said, we're fine. You know, to some of them, it was like a roller coaster ride. And they all started getting out of the window. The windows were busted out. They all just got out. I helped a couple of kids get out myself. And all of them were fine except for the driver. I bled all over the place and everything. But thankfully, everything's fine. Just to pray for it. I got a little pinched nerve here. It affects my arm. But besides that, it's just good to be alive. Amen? It's good to be in the land of the living. Colossians, I hope you're there. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. 2-4. Thank you for praying for me. I know many of you have been praying for me since that incident. Colossians 4, 2-4 says, continue in faith and watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use this message to convince our hearts of our need to be praying. Praying for doors to open on the mission field. Praying for doors of opportunity. Praying for doors of utterance. Lord, I pray that you'd use this message to speak to our hearts about the need to be praying for mission. There's nothing more important than a church can do. I know we need to give to get the missionaries on the field, but for those that are on the field, the thing that they need the most are our prayers. Lord, I pray that we'd realize that, and Lord, it would motivate us to be prayer warriors for you. Lord, I pray that you just use this message. I pray in your name. Amen. A.J. Gordon was a great preacher, Baptist preacher of a Boston church back in the 1900s. He was famous for being invited by D.L. Moody to preach a message. He was famous for being a great writer, but above all, he was a great prayer warrior. A.J. Gordon said these words, prayerless giving will never evangelize the world. And I believe that with all my heart. Prayerless giving will never evangelize the world. We need your prayers on the mission field. Paul, the missionary, was writing here to a church in Colossus and urging them to pray that God would open the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Now, notice something here when he was speaking. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. Notice that word us. It's repeated again later on. It says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. He wasn't just praying for himself. He was praying for the missionaries that worked with him. But by extension, he was praying for all the missionaries everywhere in all times in every missionary work around the world. God wants us to be praying for the missionaries. And he wants us to specifically pray for doors to be opened. And tonight I would like to, or this morning, I'd like to see a couple of doors at least that in respect to missions that we as a church of God need to be praying. The first door I want to mention is the effectual door. The effectual door. And first of all, I'd like to begin by saying that we need to pray because it's God that opens the doors. Look what it says here, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. It's God that opens doors. It's God that shuts doors. And Satan can hinder that doors be open. And sometimes those gates of hell seem to be shut tight, don't they? But God can open up those doors. Amen. The Bible says that the church of God, well, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. And why? Because of prayer. I believe with all my heart. Now turn with me to whom we're praying. Turn with me Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. If I throw in a Mexican word, a Spanish word, bear with me. I just came from Mexico. But sometimes it's in my mind. I'm trying to keep myself from saying a Spanish word. But it says here in Revelation 3, 7 and 8. Are you there? It says, and to the angels of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. When God opens the door, nobody can shut it. Satan can't even shut that door. And we need to pray that God will open doors that no man can shut, that he'll bust those doors, those gates of hell wide open, so that we can rescue the devil's captives that are behind those gates, who are captive at his will. Now, one of those doors that we need to pray for, as I said, is the effectual door. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul was in Corinth. Paul was in Ephesus, and he was writing to the church in Corinth. And he said here in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, he said, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. He said, a great door has been opened unto me. Now, I want to, he's referring to something that happened in Acts. So let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we'll see what happened there. Acts chapter 9. Paul's in Ephesus. And Paul's not having an easy time in Ephesus getting the gospel out. There's opposition. He said there's many adversaries. Acts chapter 9. And we'll look at verses 9 and 10. It says, and you know, it's Acts chapter 19. I'm sorry. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. I need to change that here in my notes. Chapter 19, 9 and 10. And it says, let's start at verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way. Now, I'm saying that because, like I said, many times it seems like the doors are of the gates of hell are shut tight. We're not seeing people say. I'm sure even Faith Baptist Church has gone through times like that. It seems like nothing is happening. We're doing all that we can. And it says here that, and this happens on the mission field all the time. There'll be times when we're just, doesn't seem like we're seeing anything happening. And the Bible says divers were hardened. It wasn't easy in Ephesus. Divers were hardened. We know all about that in the ministry. Amen. Divers being hardened. Divers not believing. Even speaking evil of our church. Evil of the way. And we have that happen so many times, you know, on the mission field as well as in the States. How many churches are saying, man, we're doing everything. We're not seeing anything. But what we need to do is pray. It wasn't easy for Paul. Just like it isn't easy many times for us. The Bible says, but he continued. And that's the thing we need to remember. We need to continue even though we're not seeing any results. And this continued by a space of 2 years. So for 2 years, he's preaching. Divers are not are hardened. People are not believing. How God has hardened Americans' hearts. Amen. Oh, we remember in the 80s how easy it was to knock doors. Amen. And people would listen to us and people would receive our tracts. Almost every time we went out, we had opportunities to preach to people. Amen. How many times did we come back from soul winning? Did you get to speak? I didn't get to even speak to anybody. Amen. Divers are hardened. But they kept on going for 2 years until all of Asia heard the gospel. Now, it didn't say all of Asia were saved. It said all of Asia heard the gospel. They were, in spite of difficulties, in spite of the gates of hell being closed shut, they continued to pray until everybody heard. That's what God wants to see from our churches as well. He wants to bless, but he wants to see what we're going to do. The Bible says something happened, though. We see that God busted loose those doors. The Bible says, it's a funny story, but some exorcists came, and they were trying to cast out a demon. And the Bible says that in verse 16, the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That'd be a sight to see. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also speaking at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. Now here, you see the picture? It's Ephesus. I mean, they're knocking doors. They're trying to preach. And divers are hardened. Divers believe not. Doesn't seem like they're getting anywhere. They're getting the gospel out, but they're not getting anywhere. And all of a sudden, fear comes upon everybody. Fear comes upon Ephesus, the fear of God. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and turned and burned them all before men. They had this great, what would it be? I remember when we had the record burnings in the 70s and 80s. Now it's the CD, the MP3 burnings? I don't know. But anyways, you see them there. They're burning their books. They counted the price of them. There's a price. But verse 20 is what I like. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The church of God and their prayers prevailed against the gates of hell. Souls started being saved. The door, a great door was open. That word great is the word mega, not maga, mega. Okay. But a great door was open. Suddenly it was open. But it wasn't suddenly, it was God. God opened the door that was shut tight. But why was that? Why did that happen? Why did literally all hell break loose? It's because prayer for the open door created the desired effect. That word effectual, notice that it was an open door and effectual. Where do we see that word effectual? We see that word in James, don't we? James 5:16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man prevaileth much. What does effectual literally mean? It means to produce the result desired. What was the desired result? That the doors would be open, the doors of opportunity would be open. But it was because there was a purpose. There was a desire there, a desire expressed in prayer. The effectual prayer made an effectual door open. That is what we need on the mission field. You could say what we need are door busters for Christ, amen, that will bust the gates of hell open with their prayers. It's little wonder that we see Paul writing in 2 Thessalonians. This is about a year before he got to Ephesus. He was in Corinth writing to the church in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. He's writing to the church. He's in Corinth at this time. And he's writing to the church of Thessalonians. After Corinth, he'll go and I'm getting ahead of myself. But here in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." So before this happens, he is asking people to pray for him, to pray that the word of God would have free course, that it would be glorified. This is a year before he left Ephesus. The Bible says he even stopped he left Corinth. He wrote this book. Okay, he wrote this prayer request. He goes to Ephesus. He's there just for a little bit. He doesn't stay very long. And then he goes, but he's got it on his mind, Ephesus. I got to get back to Ephesus. He goes to Jerusalem. He's at a fiesta, a feast. There I am. Okay, a feast. Okay, it was a religious feast. It wasn't a fiesta. It wasn't what we call in Mexico a pachanga with dancing and music and everything. It was a feast. And then he comes back to Ephesus to start his ministry. And there they are in Thessalonica. What are they doing? They're praying. They're praying that the word of God would be glorified. They're praying that the Lord would have free course. And guess what? God answered that prayer, didn't he? Oh, how we need people praying for us. Now, we must do our part, like I said. Paul, you know, he was probing. He went to Ephesus the first time. He is probing. He was seeing. It's just like when, I am a Marine. There are no ex-Marines, right? And we talk about beachheads. And that's what we're doing in Mexico. We're creating beachheads in Satan's territory that he's had for hundreds of years. And we go there and we create a beachhead. But we don't just create a beachhead and we don't just start a church. Then we go on patrols and we start probing. We start probing for doors of opportunity, just like they do, just like they did. Remember in Korea, they were there, you know, they had the 38th parallel there. But then they would send in patrols to see, where is the weakness? Where can we open up? Where can we find opportunity? That's what we need to be doing while we're praying. And that's what Paul did. I think about our ministry. I talked about our Mexican ministry, you know. When we first started our church, we passed out 20,000 invitations, and several officers of the Mexican Army started coming because we were right. God called me to that area because I wanted to reach the military there. And all we had was officers. We didn't have one enlisted man. We had majors, colonels, captains when we started our church in a little house, or in a house, in a church home. But we didn't have we weren't getting any enlisted men in. And we had a general that lived in the street behind us, and he was attending our church. And I said, you have a chauffeur. He started inviting his chauffeur to our church. And I said, you know what? What if we do this? What if your chauffeur brings us onto base? And there was a church in Tacoma, Washington, Faith Baptist Church. They have a great ministry. They have a great ministry of track ministry. And I took a military track, translated it, and got some military pictures on there, Mexican military pictures on there. And they came down. Some military guys came down from that church, and we got on base. And while we're on base, we even went back to the minister. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was in the general's office, and he had another general come in who was in charge of base housing there. And he said, go ahead. You got my permission. So we went in there, and we even stopped by the administration. The administration said, yeah, we know you're here. And so we started passing out these tracts. Well, suddenly convoy military trucks come by, and the soldiers get out, and they start collecting us all and putting us in a bunch. And the lieutenant was real kind and everything, and he said kindly said, you have to leave. So we did. So even though the head of base housing knew about it, the commandant of the entire base, this is the largest base in Mexico, military base in Mexico, he didn't know about it, and he got upset, and the general said, you know, I could go to jail for this. Thankfully, we didn't go to jail. Nobody went to jail. They found out we were meeting in the house, and they said, you're going to meet in a commercial place, and that was a great blessing, because that's how we got to where we're at now. But the point is, we're passing out the track. The door was shut. Apparently, the door was shut. It looked like Satan had shut the door. In spite of our probing, praise God, Gabriel got saved, the fellow that you saw in the video. And through Gabriel and through his daughter, many military started coming into our church, military families. Now we got plenty enlisted men, amen. About 20 of our families, one quarter of our church are military. 20 of the 80 families are military. God can open the door. And when he opens the door, nobody can shut it. And now he and his family and people on his route, they are military. They can knock as many doors as they want in there, amen, in that military base. John Gill, the great Baptist preacher in England in the 18th century, writing about the verse as our text of the door of utterance, he said, the prayers of the saints open doors of opportunity, open doors of men's hearts, and open doors of Christians' mouths. And that's the second door I'd like to see. Let's go back to our text here in Colossians. The door of utterance. The door of utterance. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That word utterance appears several times in the Bible. The first time it's mentioned is, it comes from the Greek word apophthegmai. That means to speak forth, to speak with elevated and dignified discourse. It's not just a regular conversation. It's speaking with power. It's speaking with grace. It's speaking in a way that moves people. It's the word that was used when in the day of Pentecost, when they started speaking, when they came out of that upper room and spoke the gospel. And it's when Paul spoke, Peter got up and spoke there in the day of Pentecost and saw great results. It's the same utterance that we see when Paul is speaking to, I think it's Agrippa and Festus. It's an elevated and dignified discourse. It's the same words of utterance as when Christ, after praying, get this, after praying for 40 days, the Bible says that he came to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And the Bible says that he spoke with words of grace, and they wondered at his words of grace. That's what the door of utterance is all about. It's the door of where God fills a man, fills Christians, it could be even women and men, not to preach, but to witness. And then God uses their powerful witness and preaching to speak to people's hearts. It's the same one that we see in Acts chapter 5. You want to turn there? Same speaking that we see in Acts chapter 5. It's good to open up the Word of God when we preach and teach him in the Bible. Acts chapter 5. We know what happened. They were threatened, but that didn't keep them from preaching the gospel. They got together, and the best thing to do when there's opposition, instead of crying about it, is to pray about it. Amen? And they started praying. And I think it's Acts chapter 4, I'm sorry. And the Bible says, and when they had prayed in verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, all of them, all the Holy Ghost, the whole congregation. And they spake the word of God with what? With boldness. The Bible says in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles. Now, that's the apostles witnessing of the resurrection. And great grace was upon them all, not just on the apostles, I believe on all the congregation. Great grace. And they spoke with words of grace. That's what we need on the mission field. Pray for power. Pray for doors of opportunity to open up that opened up, as we saw in Ephesians, in Ephesus among the Ephesians. But then pray for power. Pray for power. The reasons why they spoke with great grace is because they were praying in verse 31. Prayer is what we need on the mission field. Why was there a great utterance there on the day of Pentecost? Well, you look at it, Acts 1:14, where they all assembled together, the 120 people, including Mary, including, so there were women there as well, praying. There were men there praying. The 11 apostles were praying there in chapter 1. And then chapter 2, they're still praying 10 days later, and all of a sudden, there's power. God wants to do the same thing. You know, remember the prayer that Paul asked them to pray for. Let me just read it again. Finally, brother, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Free course means like a mighty river, a dam being busted. Busted open and busted loose. And that river of water that's been held up and pinned up all that time comes out with power. And knocks everything down in its way. That's what we need on the mission field. That's what God wants us to pray for. That's why God has given us the weapons of prayer. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We got a weapon that's not very used as it ought to be used, and that's the weapon of prayer. Oh, we have the weapon of the Word of God. Amen. We should use that. Amen. But don't forget the weapon of prayer. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Because God wants that the Word of God to have free course like a mighty river, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. That word in the Spanish Bible is casting down arguments. There's so many arguments out there against the gospel that are in the heads of people, in the hearts of people. That's why they're hard-hearted. That's why they believe not. But God can cast down and pull down those strongholds. But it's through prayer. It's through prayer. It's not through our glib tongue. It's not through our persuasive speaking. It's through the power of God. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's through prayer. And that's why there's another door I can speak of, but that's why I want to conclude speaking, going back to our text. That's why we need to continue in prayer. To continue in prayer. We'll go back to our text. Remember what Paul said there in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. He said, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer that these doors of opportunity will open. Prayer was made without ceasing in the church of God when Peter was put in prison. What opened those prison doors? Prayer. Prayer opens up doors. Prayer opens up doors because prayer is mighty, not because it's mighty prayer warriors, it's because we pray to a mighty God. A God can open up any door that's shut, open up any human heart, and open up our mouths, as John Gill wrote. I want to finish by saying this is something that was written some years ago, the record of a wonderful work of grace in connection with one of the stations of the China Inland Mission, attracted a good deal of attention. You probably heard of the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor. That was his mission board. But there was a wonderful work of grace that took place in one of those preaching points, one of those preaching stations of the China Inland Mission. Both the number and spiritual character of the converts had been far greater than at other stations where the consecration of the missionaries had been just as great at the more fruitful place. What he's saying is there were plenty of missionaries that were just as dedicated as those missionaries in this preaching place. But God was doing a wonderful work, a far greater work than he had in those other preaching places. See, I think of our church. God has blessed in a great way. And I see other missionaries sometimes there in Mexico struggling. And I think, why has God blessed us? Well, I believe here's the answer. It's not anything about me or about our church. The answer is right here. Now, listen to this. This rich harvest of souls remained a mystery until Hudson Taylor, on a visit to England, discovered the secret. At the close of one of his addresses, a gentleman came forward to make his acquaintance. In the conversation which followed, Mr. Taylor was surprised at the accurate knowledge the man possessed concerning this island, this inland China station. "But how is it," Mr. Taylor asked, "that you are so conversant with the conditions of that word?" Conversant is a word that we don't use too often. But how do you know so well about it? How come you can converse so much about this? How come you have so much knowledge of this station? "Oh," he replied, "the missionary there and I are old college mates." Praise God for good old college mates to pray. Amen. "For years we have regularly corresponded. He has sent me names of inquirers and converts, and these I have daily taken to God in prayer." The secret at last was found. A praying man at home, praying definitely, praying specifically, praying daily for specific cases among the heathen. This is the real intercessory missionary. You can be an intercessory missionary. Praying specifically. Remember what we saw? Effectual means accomplishing the desire. When there is prayer with desire, it accomplishes specific things. Pray for specifically for specific things. You know, I think it's time to rethink the church's concerted prayer for missions. I think it would be, I heard what a pastor was saying, that they pass out copies of missionary letters and missionary letters. That's a wonderful idea. That maybe prayer bands where churches will say, okay, this prayer band is just for this missionary. And we're going to study this missionary. We're going to correspond with this missionary. We're going to read their prayer letters. We're going to read their updates. And we're going to pray for what's on those updates. And we're going to pray specifically for these needs. Wow, how that could change many a mission work. James 15, 16 through 18 says, the effectual, specific, with a purpose and fervent prayer does a lot. Does a lot. You know, then later on in James, it speaks of an example, doesn't it? Elijah. We need some Elijahs to pray for fervently, specifically for specific prayers for the missionaries. James Gilmore, and I'll end with this statement. James Gilmore, missionary in Mongolia, said, "My creed leads me to think that prayer is efficacious. And surely a day's asking God to overrule all events for good is not lost." It's not lost if you spend a day in prayer, folks. Still, there's a great feeling that when a man is praying, he's doing nothing. Isn't that true? Sometimes we feel like, I'm not getting anything accomplished. I'm just praying. You know, I need to go out and do something. This is exactly what Gilmore said. And feeling makes us give undue importance to work. Listen to that. Give undue importance to work. Sometimes even to the hurrying over and even to the neglect of prayer. I've got things to do. You know, I got to go out soul winning. You know, I've got to teach a class. You know, I don't have time to pray. How foolish we are. Amen. Still, there's a great feeling that when a man is praying, he's doing nothing. And this feeling makes us give undue importance to work. Sometimes even to the hurrying over and even to the neglect of prayer. Do we not rest in our day too much on the arm of flesh? Cannot the same wonders be done now as of old? Do not the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth still to show himself strong in behalf of those who put their trust in him? Oh, that God would give us more practical faith in him. Whereas now the Lord God of Elijah, remember that's what Elisha said when he struck the Jordan with the mantle of Elijah? James Gilmore finishes saying, he is waiting for Elijah to call on him. Well, folks, what we need on the mission field are Elijahs. To pray specifically, to pray fervently, that doors of opportunity be open and doors of utterance be given. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would challenge our hearts, God, not just today, but every day, to pray fervently, pray specifically for the missionaries on the mission field. Oh, how we need the prayers of the saints. I pray these things in your name.